Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Thank you for tuning in and listening, whether you're listening over the radio or whether you're listening over the Internet somewhere around the United States or around the world. Thank you for being here. Let me tell you who our special guest is this hour. Her name is Paula Lovell. She's a new friend and a new guest. Paula founded Lovell Communications Incorporated in 1988. Her firm represents clients throughout the country, ranging from a $3 billion New York Stock Exchange healthcare company to a 1,000-store chain of fast food restaurants. Her agency handles marketing and public relations for a wide range of businesses, including retail, services, manufacturing, and distributions. She is vice president of a Nashville ad. Prior to forming her company, she was a vice president of a Nashville PR and ad agency. And a couple of other things that's kind of interesting about her: she holds a bachelor's degree in arts, from Vanderbilt University. One of the things that I think is really interesting is that she is the deputy chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta Board of Directors, and she's on the executive committee. Paula, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you with us, and we have a mutual friend in Whitney Johns.
That's right. She's great and a great advocate for small business, and we are good friends.
Yeah, she sure is, and she's spoken very highly of you, and I appreciate you joining us. I'm looking forward to our discussion today. One of the things that I want to talk about later in the hour is a little bit about the Fed and some of your activity and some of the things that are going on there. But before we do, I want you to tell us a little bit about your company and what you guys do.
Okay, I'm glad to do that. Well, Lovell Communications is a marketing and public relations agency, and of course that involves advertising, public relations, marketing. And a lot of folks don't really understand what that is, so I'm always delighted when someone says, "Tell me what you do." Of course, all of us in small business are delighted when someone says, "Tell us what you do," right?
Right.
But I consider public relations the art of persuasion, Jim. I used to say the art of motivation, motivating people to make a certain kind of decision, but then that sounded too manipulative, so I changed it to the art of persuasion. And frankly, we just find traditional and non-traditional ways to get target audiences, to get groups of people to do certain something, whether to think a certain way or to, you know, change their behavior to do a certain thing, like buy your product or buy your service. And we go into businesses and assess what the role of communications is in their strategic plan and develop a specific marketing campaign for them.
How small a company do you work with?
Oh, we represent one-person company.
Good. Okay, I'm glad to hear that. You used a word a minute ago that I want to focus on for a second. You used the word target.
Right.
One of the things that I think small businesses make the biggest mistake in when they're doing their advertising and their marketing is they don't focus on that word. They don't focus on targeting. They do more of a shotgun approach. What do you think about that?
Well, it's interesting because sometimes that's driven by budget. People say, "What is the difference, Paula, between advertising and public relations?" And I get that every day. And I always say that advertising is very targeted and more expensive than public relations, which is broad brush and more like a shotgun. For instance, advertising is like shooting with a rifle. You identify your target audience. You identify that, you know, it's women between the ages of 25 and 55 that have a certain income, that live in a certain geographic area, zip code, with some kind of insurance. That may be your target audience, and it's very easy to fine-tune that and hone in on your audience. But once you do that, you've got to shoot with a rifle, and it's a rather expensive approach.
Mm-hmm.
And although it pays off. Now, for many small business people, public relations is much more effective, and that's why, hence the reason I chose my business. Public relations, you sometimes overshoot your target, but the unit cost is much, much lower.
Mm-hmm.
Advertising is paid media. You come on your radio show and you pay for some space on the radio show, and that's paid media. On the other hand, public relations is what we call earned media, and that is sort of free. Now, you may be paying an agency or you may be paying your brother-in-law to help you do it, but you have earned the right to be covered by the press or to build a relationship with the dry cleaners next door to you to do some cross-marketing, and that's public relations, building relations. And so it's still important, though, to target the audience. For instance, you don't want to say, my target audience is people. That's not, that's
right.
just not quite narrow enough.
Right.
Although you may want to say my target audience is kids because you've identified that they influence the key buyer who is mom.
All right. Now, now your firm does not do any, you don't have an ad agency.
We do advertising.
You do some advertising?
Okay. Yeah, and I'm not saying, believe me, I'm not saying advertising is bad. I'm just saying that the difference between my firm and a lot of firms is we don't go in and say that the answer is advertising.
I see what you mean. You've got more than one tool in your kit bag.
Exactly. We say the answer as marketing communications, and then we hand pick depending on what your target audience is. If you're in the services business, as many small businesses are, and I am, if you're in the services business, it is much easier to get and use the tool of public relations. If you're in the retail business, let's say you're selling shoes.
Right.
It is very hard to get the newspaper or the television station to do free coverage for you.
Right.
If you invent a new shoe, when's the last time someone invented a new shoe?
Right.
Not very recently. And if you invent a new shoe, they'll cover it. But there's not news associated with many retail products. Although, if there is news, you come out with a new software package, you can get that coverage. But as you sell that software package throughout the year, and it doesn't change or create any new news,
right,
you have to buy advertising.
Exactly. Well, and there actually is a little bit of a problem, especially from the newspaper standpoint, with keeping their editorial and their advertising separate.
There is, especially in smaller towns. In the top 50 media markets, that's not the case. And really, truly, we'll go in, and it's a big mistake to say to an editor or to a reporter, hey, I'm buying some advertising, so give me some free coverage. That will essentially alienate you from the reporter, which is the last thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you can't. That is absolutely the worst faux pas you can have with anybody, a member of the press.
Right, exactly. Except in some small towns where they freely admit, where the publisher is the same person as the editor, and says, if you buy this package this year, we'll give you some free editorial coverage.
Right.
And they're upfront about it. As long as they're upfront and full disclosure, then it's not considered inappropriate by the media.
Yeah. I haven't found that person yet, but I'm sure they exist. Paula, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 20 after. When we come back, we're going to get Paula to help us understand how to use public relations in our small companies. 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back. Thank you for joining us. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Paula Lovell is our special guest and our new friend.
Is that country music I was hearing?
Well, a little bit. No, it's not country. That's I guess you could call that Southern Rock. That's the Jessica theme, the Jessica song from the Allman Brothers.
I didn't know if that was in my honor. Well,
No, that's every day. Jessica is one of my favorite songs, and so we use that music as our lead-in music.
And by the way, I love that little intro there. You are a small business owner. You eat what you kill.
Well, you know about that, don't you?
Well, I do, and sometimes it scares me. Someone said the other day, you started your own business, and what's it like to be a small business owner where your house is on the line every day, where you get up in the morning, you got to meet payroll, and I was in a meeting, and I said, I'll tell you what it's like. You're making me so nervous, I got to get back to the office right now.
Well, let me tell you about my experience with that conversation. And I've told my audience this once or twice before since I've been on the air. When I started my business, which is just now 10 years old as of last month.
Great. Congratulations, you made it over the hump.
Thank you. Yeah, you're about a year ahead of me there. Just finished up 10 years with my consulting business. But anyway, I'd been in business about a year or so, and someone said to me, after having been a good employee for 23 years, someone said, boy, I bet it sure is frightening to be, to be out on your own like that, not to have a regular paycheck, to have to not have a company to work for. And I said, you know what? You're right. It scares the hell out of me.
Right.
It's almost as scary as when I work for someone else.
It'll have a little bit more control.
They sort of look, rock their head back and forth. You know how a puppy looks at you when they don't understand what you're saying to them.
Exactly. I have to tell you one story. I was at a small business awards dinner recently, and they did a wonderful videotape of the five people who were eligible for the executive of the year. And so we went around to five people, and in fact, I was one of them. The question that the reporter came to us with was, what motivates you? What gets you standing on your feet every morning? And we all said grand things like, I just love to see the look on the faces of my employees when I do this, that, and the other. And then the next
passion for the business.
Came by and said, passion for the business, that's what motivates me every year, every day. Well, one guy came around, and there were 1,000 of us in the audience, right? He turned the microphone on him, and he said, what motivates you? What gets you going every day? And the guy looked in the camera, and he said, fear. And everybody in that room stood on their feet clapping because we knew that was what this man really hit the
nail
on the
head.
That
gets you, that wakes you up every morning, doesn't it?
That's right. It's fun, though. It gets the adrenaline going, and none of us would have it any other way.
That's right. Paula, let's talk about getting our companies in front of our customers and our prospects. And your firm helps companies with advertising, placing their advertising. You help them with marketing, with PR. If a small business came to you, let's say this small business had, let's say they had 6 employees and they were doing $500,000, maybe, you know, $750,000 a year in sales. They had a small service company. And they said to you, look, we want this company. I've done the numbers, and if I could grow my business by you know, to say $1 million in the next 2 years, then I could put this much on the bottom line because of just some efficiencies. Help me do that. What would you say to them?
Well, that's an interesting question, because that is precisely what I faced with my own company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my favorite kind of company, really. There's so much to do. And let's assume for fun that it's a service business.
Mm-hmm.
And I get asked that question all the time, because typically that kind of business doesn't have the big bucks for advertising. So you can do some very targeted, small bits of advertising. And
what happens is you ask them what their budget is, and they look at you with this glazed look. They don't even know, they don't have a budget for it.
Well, exactly. And then I say, I don't even start with that anymore. Because you really need to, if it's your first effort, you need to, if any small business owner or any business owner is going to say, well, if I spend this money, what's going to be the return on the investment? And so it doesn't even matter whether you spend we have a very big company, and last year we bought for them $1 million in advertising. We generated $4 million in business for them out of that
$1 million.
They were delighted, as you can imagine. But when I first started and presented to them $1 million campaign, the CEO almost fell out on the floor.
He choked, didn't he?
And he said, well, what can you do for $500,000? And I said, well, I can't get you 4 times the return over this geographic area for $500,000. And he coughed up $1 million and was delighted at the result. So, and sometimes it can be even much better than that. But with small business, we have so many great opportunities. For people like you, Jim, who talk about business, go on the air, have radio shows, and opportunities for people like me to talk about subjects. I always say, look, make a list of what your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats are, and we start with that.
All right, stand by. We're going to talk about all four of those things in just a minute, and how to use, whether to use advertising, or whether it's direct advertising, or whether to use a little bit of PR in there, a little bit of marketing. We're going to talk about all those things with Paula Lovell when we come back after these messages, folks. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate your business. Paula Lovell, the owner of Lovell Communications Incorporated out of Nashville, Tennessee, is with us, and we're talking about marketing in your small business and public relations and how to use your advertising money wisely. Paula, when we took our last break, by the way, folks, if you'd like to join us and ask Paula a question on marketing or PR or advertising, the number is 888-822-8255, 1-888-822-8255. Paula, by the way, do you have a website?
I do. It's Lovell.com.
Spell that.
Lovell.com.
.com.
You get some free tips on PR and guerrilla marketing.
Check that out, folks. And also, do you have a phone number?
I do. It's 1-800-297-4697.
Okay. Check that out. We'll allow you to give that number and website out again later in the hour. Folks, if you didn't get that, we'll get Paula to tell us about that again in a minute. Paula, you were talking about the SWOT approach to getting your business, to dealing with your business. Would you cover that for us just a little bit?
Guerrilla marketing is shoestring promotion. And the first thing you need to do is do a SWOT analysis. You sit down with a pencil, and if you've got a buddy, if you've got a partner, or if you're alone and you've got only employees and you need to sit down with your one or two employees, you get a flip chart and you say, look, what are our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats? And strengths are things like, great location, great product, obviously, great employees.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a strength would be, and I'm on a local civic board which has 5 CEOs of companies on it that have the ability to buy my product.
Mm-hmm. Or I'm on the chamber board of directors or something like
that. Exactly.
Yeah.
And your opportunities may be, an opportunity to change locations and get into a better rent situation, reduce your debt, or the opportunity may be to get into an organization that has people who buy your products. Then you've got the weaknesses, excuse me, which include things like I've got a competitor across the street who's got a bigger sign than I do.
Been in business longer than I have.
That's right. And threats are, I run a city magazine, and I just read in the paper this morning that somebody from a great big city is coming in here and going to be my competitor and start up a magazine. So you take that, and then you do an assessment from that.
That's the SWOT method, folks.
That's the SWOT analysis. And the first thing we do is go in and say, let's sit down and do that. Now, an outsider can't do that. Only you, as a business owner, mm-hmm. can do that. You know intimately the strengths and weaknesses of your business, and you need to write them down in a grid. And then the best opportunity for small business is simply just to tell your story. And people say to me all the time, gosh, you know, I always see John Doe in the newspaper being quoted as an expert in so-and-so. And the person says to me, I'm an expert in that. Why don't they quote me? It's very simple. You haven't asked to be quoted.
They don't know about you. You haven't been available.
Right. And so you simply being able to understand how to approach the press is something that's very intimidating to a lot of people, but really shouldn't be, because typically these are young people. In the business world, they are obviously much less adept and sophisticated at any kind of business than a small business owner ever is.
Right.
And if you go to a reporter because you notice that they cover your industry, let's say they cover air conditioners, or let's mm-hmm. say they cover some service, catering,
mm-hmm.
they're the food and the restaurant writer, you really should just call up the person and say, my name is Jane Marie. I have a small business. Can I send you some information on this business for you to keep in your file? You don't ask for a story if you don't have any news. You just say, I just want you to know about this company because I feel that I'm an expert in the area of catering to parties having the fanciest and the best remembered parties that my clients have ever had. The person will never say no.
Right.
They say, sure, I'll take a look at it. Then you've opened the door to build a relationship. Now, you can't hound them to death or call them every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
But the next step is, the easiest way to get press in almost any town is to announce your new employees.
Yeah.
Because they'll have a section called Achievers or Newsmakers. Or
right. On the go or moving up or something like that. Yeah.
Right. They'll run a picture or at least they'll run an announcement. And mm-hmm. public relations or shoestring promotion has to do with what I call the drip-drip effect.
Mm-hmm.
You just get out there every day. Tedious, and you got to be consistent, but every day you do one thing, and the list of things is 100 long, and I wish I had time, but you stop me when I've run out of time. I'll start
okay.
here real quickly.
You're doing fine.
If you hear Jim Blasingame on the radio or see him on the internet, and he says something with a guest that you appreciate, you might want to write that guest and develop a relationship if you think that guest is a potential customer of yours
mm-hmm.
or can do something for you.
Right.
You read in the newspaper where a colleague or where a friend or a competitor who you may want to merge with later is doing something or said something. Write a letter. You know, Jim, letter writing is a dying art these days.
It is.
You get a letter handwritten in the mail, and you're going to pay attention to it. We get emails and faxes
yeah.
and phone calls, but you don't get letters. And I say it's the most effective free way. You know what? You got a letterhead.
That's right.
Every small business is the cheapest form of advertising. Take your letterhead and use it.
Let me ask you a question. One of the things that I like to see service companies do is a public service type of advertising where they offer, maybe in the newspaper you see where this company, it's an infomercial basically, but it's surrounded, it basically is covered in a useful tips for a homeowner or something like that. Or you might see a service company sponsor something on the radio, maybe they sponsor the weather or the traffic report or something like that. What do you think about that kind of an approach?
I think it's very effective, and you know that's what we put that in the category of advertising, because
mm-hmm.
if you pay to have it done, it's advertising, and it's very effective because you've targeted it. You've picked who is listening to this show or who is listening to the morning, perhaps a radio show later in the day on NPR.
Mm-hmm.
You've targeted and done some research, and also, by the way, the people who work for the radio station or the TV station will help you determine what's the best spot on that station for you to buy.
Right.
And it's very effective. Or you can offer to, you know, you can write a column for your local newspaper as a guest author. And they will publish that frequently for free if you're a decent writer and you allow them to edit it.
Yeah, they have to edit it a little bit.
And stand by your pictures in the paper.
Exactly. Stand by, Paula. We've got to take a quick break, folks. It's 40 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Paula Lovell, President of Lovell Communications Incorporated out of Nashville, Tennessee, is with us as our special guest. We'll be right back. Stay with us, please. We are back. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. And I want to remind you that coming up in the next hour, Marcy Ross is going to be with us, and she's going to be talking to us about Y2K. And we're going to get Paula to say a few words about that in just a minute, because she's pretty much up on that too. But we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Before we do, I want to I want Paula. You had some funny stories that you want to tell us.
Yeah, you know, Jim, the phrase guerrilla marketing was coined by a guy named Jay Levinson.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage anybody to buy any of his many books that are out on the subject. So I didn't invent that coin, that phrase. He's a series of books, and I've read probably 100 books on the subjects of marketing.
Mm-hmm.
For small business. And I got 2 or 3 favorite stories, and I'll just tell one or two of them. there was a guy who wanted to... He was trying to get to see a prospect. He thought he had a good business opportunity. If he could just get in to see this man who refused to see him. He tried everything. He tried cold calling. He tried letters. He tried getting a friend to get him in the door. He could not get into this business prospect. And so he was just about to give up. He was leaving to fly out of town. He had come into town to try to call on this businessman. He was going out of town, and he walked over. And he had a great idea. He bought some flight insurance. He made the prospect his beneficiary on the flight insurance, and then he sent it to him with a note, and the note said, "Thinking of you." Signed his name and his note number, and the next call he was able to get into the prospect.
That's the greatest, best story I've ever heard.
Humor, and he said, "What is this about?" That was one of my favorite stories, and that may have been in one of Levinson's books.
That's great.
But the other one was a fellow who worked up east. And, you know, you guys up there have a lot of toll booths. We don't have many of those in the South, but you have to go through a bunch of toll booths. And this man made it a practice. Every time he pulled up to a toll booth, he looked behind him. And he was an insurance salesman, as it turned out. And he looked behind him, and if he had a Mercedes, a Lincoln, a Cadillac, or one of those fancy cars behind him, he would pay his toll, and he would pay the toll of the guy behind him and leave his business card. Then when the guy would pull up, the toll booth attendant, he'd reach over to throw his quarter in, and the guy'd say, "Oh, you know, the fellow in front of you already paid." And the guy in the big car would say, "What do you mean? Who was that?" And he'd say, "I don't know, but he gave me this business card." He said half the time, by the time he got back to his office, he had gotten a call from the fellow behind him, say, "Who are you? Do I know you?" And he had opened the door to a possible sale.
That's great. You know, the thing that underlies all of the things that we've been talking about this hour, Paula, is you've got to get up on your hind legs and promote yourself a little bit. You got to do some things a little bit different, and you cannot keep what you have to offer under a bushel, can you?
No.
That's one of the biggest things that I think small business owners have. Biggest problems that they have is they feel that they're being pushy or whatever if they try to get their message out, if they try to promote themselves. But you've got to do that, don't you?
Well, that's right, because no one else is going to do it. And in fact, I give a speech called Shameless Self-Promotion, which really is, and the idea is, you know, shameful means you're ashamed of what you do. Shameless means you don't have shame about what you do.
That's right.
And you're willing to share your talents and your skills with other people. So when you serve as a volunteer on a board, a civic board in your community, go on and tell people what you do at the board meeting during the break.
Absolutely.
Let them know who you are, and because, you know, like they say in the Girl Scouts, you know, you've got to believe in yourself.
That's right. Paula, I want to change subjects now, and I want to move over. We've got just a couple of minutes before the break, and then we're going to wrap up the hour with this too. Talk to us about the Fed. Now, you are deputy chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank of the Atlanta Board of Directors, and talk to us about that job. How did you get that job, by the way?
Well, you know, people often ask me that. They look at me kind of cockeyed and say, "What the heck? What are you doing there? You're a small business owner. What are you doing on the Fed board?" Well, I think it is because I'm a small business owner that I am on the Fed board,
mm-hmm.
in order to represent the businesses. The boards of direct, you know, the Fed has many districts, and then there are branches. For about 5 years, I served on the branch board in Nashville, and then for the last year or so, I've been on what they call the big board in Atlanta. And the role of, other than the governance issues that typically go along with being a board member, is to be the tentacles into the community, into the business community, the tentacles of information. We're a conduit from business I was asked to be on the board because I get out into the community and I listen to what business owners are saying about what's going on in their business. I ask them every day. Every day I say, look, how are inventories? What do you think is going to happen in the next half of the year? Mm-hmm. Is your business on budget? Are you doing better this year or worse this year than you were last year? And I typically say, what's your feeling? How do you feel about the economy? And I have conversations with small business owners. Then it's my job to go three times a month, either through conference calls or through a meeting in Atlanta, to step up and say, here's what I'm hearing out of Middle Tennessee and Southern Kentucky in this area. And if I travel, I do it in other areas. I mean, I'm one of these people who interviews, you know, cab drivers and elevator operators,
right,
and everybody I can get my hands on, to ask them what their feelings are about the economy. The reason that's important is because if you have strong, if you have good positive feelings about the rest of the year, then that takes on a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Paula, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 50 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Paula Lovell is our special guest, and we're going to continue to talk to her when we come back after these messages. Stay with us, please. All right, we're back. It's 54 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Paula Lovell is our special guest and our new friend, and we've been having a great visit with her, and we're going to get her back on the show in the future to talk to us about other things. We've been talking about marketing, and also most recent part of our conversation has been around her position as the deputy chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta. And Paula, you were telling us about how all that works. And one of the reasons I like to talk about the Fed is because I like to remind people, and like for people like you and Whitney Johns and Eleanor Solomon and others that I've had on the show that have been associated with the Fed, to understand and to realize that they're a lot closer, as small business owners, they're a lot closer to the Fed decisions than they ever thought they were. Than they imagined.
They really are in two ways. One, obviously, the Fed dictates the discount rate, and that's very important to small
business. Absolutely.
And those of us who are fortunate enough to be on the board actually, as a group, make recommendations to Chairman Alan Greenspan and the other governors on the mm-hmm. Fed board in Washington. And they take under advisement those recommendations, and when they have the FOMC meetings, which are coming up sometime this month, they actually vote on where they're going to hold, raise, or lower the discount rate, which greatly impacts small business.
And the decision to raise or lower is based to a large part on the information that you people like Paula Lovell and Whitney Johns and others collect from small business all across the country.
You know, absolutely. Every time I go and have the privilege of being with a man I consider one of the great Americans, of course, is Alan Greenspan.
No question.
He always takes time to say, look, I want to stop and tell everybody here how important it is, the important role you play as board members, because you are our reach into the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to hear from me. They can't talk to 100 small business owners.
Right.
So they say to me as a small business owner, in your groups, you know, with the NFIB or in your local groups in Nashville, what are you hearing? What is the sentiment? What is the confidence level about our economy? What are they planning? How are sales going? Are they going to meet budget?
Mm-hmm.
What's it feel like? And we say,
are they having trouble finding people to employ? Oh. What are the wages look like?
Oh, that's right. The labor shortage is something we've been talking about for 5 years.
It's a big deal.
And now we're trying to assess why that isn't translating into higher wages. And you know, to some degree, we're not seeing a lot of upward pressure on wages, but what we are seeing is having to pay signing bonuses and increased benefits and some real.
Right.
Some real pressure on.
I think one of the reasons why wages aren't going up is a lot of people are being downsized. They're starting their own small business, and they're not paying themselves as much.
Well, isn't that the truth?
I'll tell you that. I want to change subjects because we've got just about a minute, actually a little bit less. The big news today is Alice Rivlin, the vice chairman of the Fed and a member of the Federal Reserve Board, is resigning. I don't know as of when, but the news today is that Alice Rivlin is resigning. You know, Alice, what's this going to do?
Well, she's resigning effective July 16th. She is vice chairman, and what she did was resign from a four-year term, and, of course, her position is appointed by the President of the United States.
Right.
And, frankly,
is her term up, or is she resigning early?
No, she's resigning early, and she's 1 year short of her term being up as vice chair, but
uh-huh.
she's many years short of a 14-year term, 12 or 14-year term that the board members...
Why is she resigning?
Well, her comment, and I obviously my connection with it in terms of why she's resigning is what you read in the press and with her press release. But she said that she was quoted in her letter to the president as saying, "I hope to spend more time to be more effectively involved in the city, in the District of Columbia, than I've been able to be at the Fed."
Right.
She is the head of the Financial Assistance Authority for D.C., and that oversees the city's government. She's very effective. She's a very... Well, she's a brilliant woman, of course.
I think we're going to miss her on the Fed. And, Paul, I'm going to have to wrap it up. That's got to be the last word. I'm looking forward to having you back. I'm glad to have you as a new friend. We'll do this again.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it very much.
I have too, Paula. Good job. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Got to go for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.